The following content is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips, we've got new tech from Google for both Alexa and Android phones, the new Blind Shell Light app, research being done on a new retinal implant, robotic guide dogs, and tennis tech. All that is coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. New stuff from Amazon. Amazon announces new Alexa Transit feature. This comes to us from Cool Blind Tech. Alexa recently became a guide to traveling by public transportation with the introduction of the new Alexa Transit feature. The voice assistant added information on buses and trains, including real-time updates in 7 major U.S. cities, with plans to add many more. Alexa Transit was released at the same time with the new Amazon Echo Buds hearables, a combination likely aimed at boosting Alexa use outside of the home over Google Assistant or Siri. Right now, Alexa's public transportation knowledge covers New York City, Philadelphia, Boston, Seattle, Chicago, San Francisco, and Newark and Jersey City area in New Jersey. The feature fills the voice assistant's database with information on bus and train stations, how to navigate them, and how to use public transit to commute or reach interesting destinations nearby. Users can connect their Alexa accounts and fill in the home and work locations and get answers about their commute or the best directions to get to either destination. Alexa can also answer questions about specific trains and buses, including their status, should they be slowed or suspended for some reason. When asked, Alexa will give directions by car or public transit to specific addresses or notable tourist destinations, such as the Empire State Building or Liberty Bell, by voice or by visual form on a smartphone. Transit directions are useful for a lot of people who aren't driving, and Amazon wants people to think of Alexa as an option alongside Google Maps or Apple Maps. The connection between Echo Buds and Alexa streamlines that connection. The release is an easy way to get the hearables to promote the transit info and vice versa. Public transit could also potentially be just one of Alexa's moves in connecting, especially with Google. When it comes to navigation, Google has regularly integrated voice AI to maps, channeling Google Translate to help travelers find their way in new places, and Google Assistant pulling up voting locations and ballot box drop-offs ahead of last year's election. Google Maps also uses AI to generate audio walking directions specifically designed for people with visual impairments, including guides to bus and train stations. The WeWalk Smart Cane does the same with its custom voice assistant. Public transportation can efficiently connect people and places, often saving riders time and money, while also reducing traffic congestion. It's always been our vision for Alexa to help customers wherever they are, both at home and on the go. To make it even easier to use public transportation in cities, today we're introducing Alexa Transit, a new feature that simplifies navigating public transit to or from home, work, or other destinations. Amazon wrote in its introduction of the feature, "This is just the beginning for the Alexa Transit feature, and we plan to continue evolving it over time as we hear feedback from customers." You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. A lighter twist on a classic accessible smartphone. This article is entitled "The Smarter Phone, Blind Shell Classic Lite." It's written by Steve Kelly and comes to us from Access World Magazine. This may sound like heresy to readers of a tech magazine, but smartphones aren't for everyone. True. Some may relish the thought of embracing a shiny piece of glass and learning the many gestures required to make it work. But many users simply prefer the simplicity of a phone that does a few things really well, like making a phone call, sending and receiving text messages, just the basics with simple accessibility. For those of you who have been looking for such a device in the world of flicks and swipes, you may have a new best friend in the Blindshell Classic Lite. Like its older sibling, the Blindshell Classic, the Blindshell Lite is a candy bar style phone with the display and touchpad on one side of a straight, non-folding phone. The phone is about 5.5 inches long, nearly 3 inches of that dimension is display, 2.5 inches wide, and weighs about 4 ounces. The Blindshell Lite's dimensions are very similar to the Blindshell Classic. It simply has fewer features. While the Blindshell Lite is certainly not what you might consider a smartphone, it has one elegant feature that's quite smart: spoken menus from the moment the phone is turned on. Power on the phone to a spoken status update and navigate through the menu with a large, centrally located directional pad, with each menu item spoken. You can feel the navigational buttons with your fingertips, and you don't need to turn on a screen reader. In addition to text-to-speech, the Blindshell Lite offers a large print display with high contrasts and a dialing pad with a well-spaced number pad and navigational keys. On the side opposite the keypad, there is even an SOS button that can be preset to an emergency number of your choice for one-touch speed dialing. The basic navigation of the Blindshell Lite uses the keys above the standard dial pad. In the center, just below the display, is a large square directional pad used for moving through the menus. Press down to go to the next item, up to go to the previous menu item. Press the center of the directional pad to confirm or select an item. On either side of this pad are two smaller rectangular buttons. The top buttons on either side control the volume, left to decrease and right to increase. There are 8 volume levels, and the highest offers decent amplification with clear sound through the headset speaker. This can also be changed to the loudspeaker in the back of the phone during a call by pressing the confirm button. Just below these are the control buttons. On the left, the button has a green phone icon, and on the right, a red phone icon. Like the icon suggests, the right control button hangs up a phone call, and it also powers the phone on with a long press. With the phone on, the same icon press lets you go back to the top of the menus. A shorter press of the right control button takes you back up one level in a menu or deletes the last entry in an edit field. This is really handy if you get a bit lost in a menu. The control button on the left will both answer an incoming call and work as a confirmation key. The menus. Pressing the down button on the directional pad takes you through the main menu items: call, messages, contacts, tools, settings, and turn off the phone. Continuing to press down takes you back through the menu items. As each item is spoken, it also indicates its position in the menu. For example, when messages is selected, the phone speaks messages, 2 of 6, so you know that it's the second option in a menu with 6 items. While the Blindshell Lite is a basic phone, it has a number of really handy features. Here's a closer look at some of the menu options. The call menu has 3 options: dial contact, dial number, and call history. Dial contact opens the contacts address book and allows you to select a contact. Dial number prompts for a number to be entered, followed by the confirm key. You can dial a number without being in this menu, however. Just punch in the number and press confirm. Messages. The Blindshell Lite will send and receive text messages, also called SMS or short message service messages. Menu options include write SMS to contact, write SMS to number, and conversions. Like making a call, you can send text to a contact or just put in a number. There is no dictation on this phone, however, so text input is done by using the dial pad. Contacts. This menu provides access to a basic address book with the following options: contacts list, add new contact, single button dialing, and sort contacts. The contacts list has the basics with fields for name, phone numbers, and postal addresses, and can be sorted by first or last name. A single number can be assigned to a contact for speed dialing that contact. Tools. 6 productivity tools appear in this menu. Alarm, minute timer, stopwatch, calculator, notes, and calendar. The calendar in this menu simply allows you to check a date. There isn't an option for setting an appointment or reminder here. The notes option opens a basic notes app which uses the dial pad for creating and editing notes. In notes, the directional pad can change how the screen reader reads the notes in the edit mode by character or word. This is a great feature for a shopping list or recording a phone number. Another handy option here is the ability to send a note as a text message. Settings. The settings menu options really enable some flexibility in the accessibility features. Options here include sounds, display, time and date, keypad lock, menu navigation, and about phone. In the sounds submenu, selecting profile gives you the choice to silence the phone, use the default or normal setting, or use vibrations. Volume provides separate settings for alarms, feedback sounds, and ringtones. The last submenu here, voice output, provided some pretty serious customization to the speech settings on the phone. Speech rate contains 5 settings, including a slower than normal setting and several that were incrementally faster than normal. 7 voices are available in the voice variant menu, 4 female voices and 3 male voices. For users wanting further voice customization, the menu option called Level of Intonation provides modifications to the voices that include robotic, neutral, natural, and theatrical. There is a noticeable amount of difference between these intonations, and the theatrical setting sounds more like a conversational voice. Like sounds, the display settings offer features other basic phones may not have at all. 6 brightness settings enable the ability to reduce glare from the screen or really brighten it up. The color schemes menu provides 4 high contrast choices: white on black, black on white, white on blue, and black on yellow. Only 2 text sizes are available, normal and huge. With huge selected, only 3 lines of text appear on the screen and words longer than 6 characters wrapped to another line. For many low vision users, these settings will enable them to leave the pocket magnifier in their pocket while using their phone. The last submenu under settings is About Phone. While this provides some information about the software and product information, it lacks the onboard user manual found in the Blind Shell Classic. Now, granted, the light version has fewer features, most of which can be quickly understood by dubbing around the various menus. For many users, it would be a welcome addition. Many users choosing such a basic phone may also not be experienced computer users or have access to the Blind Shell Lite user manual from their website. Turning off the phone. The last menu item on this top-level menu is Turn Off the Phone. Simply press the Confirm button in the center of the directional pad to select this. Confirm, and the phone shuts down. Conclusion. Although the Blind Shell Lite is a basic phone with a tactile dialing pad, it has some terrific accessibility features that are on when the phone powers up and that are very customizable. The keys and tactile dialing pad are large, well-spaced, and have large, high-contrast print. Although the phone offers 4 gigs of memory, an audio record feature, something you'll find on many other basic phones, is not offered on the Blind Shell Lite. It would also be great to have the option of dictation included for notes, contacts, and to place a call. Nevertheless, the Blind Shell Lite cell phone keeps it simple and will be a delight to use for those who don't want or need the more complicated bells and whistles on a standard smartphone. Okay, product information. The Blind Shell Lite retails for $249 and is available on the Blind Shell eShop website. The phone can also be purchased through their partners' websites, the AT Guys, the Low Vision Shop, or LS&S in the U.S. the blind shell light ships with a USB charging cable and charging AC adapter, a set of earbuds, and a printed quick start guide. In addition to the user guide mentioned earlier, several tutorials are available from the Blind Shell YouTube channel. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. AFB has partnered with Google Accessibility to bring you the inside scoop. This comes to us from Access World Magazine. A short editor's note before the article. This piece was provided to Access World directly by Google Accessibility and was not composed by AFB or an Access World author. In addition, the presence of this sponsored content will not have an effect on the results of any future reviews of Google products or services in Access World magazine. At the American Foundation for the Blind, we believe technology can help bring more independence to people who are blind or have low vision. We strive to bring our community the most helpful and relevant information available. In an effort to continue this mission, we're excited to announce our partnership with the Google Accessibility team. Google is one of the leaders in the accessibility space with a number of products and services helping people with disabilities live a life of greater independence. The Google Accessibility team will be providing quarterly updates and product information spotlighting relevant accessible technologies for the community. Today, the team highlights the Lookout 2.0 app. Since its release in 2019, the Lookout app on Android has helped people who are blind and low vision discover their surroundings with the help of computer vision. Lookout uses the camera on your device to translate your surroundings, such as objects, people, products, text, and more, into spoken feedback, acrons, and other signals. Since the initial launch, Lookout has had ongoing improvements in quality and performance, and we're excited to announce the Lookout 2.0 app. There are a number of improvements to Lookout 2.0, including two new modes, a more accessible design, and support for more devices. The two new modes in Lookout are called Food Label and Scan Document. Food Label allows you to quickly identify packaged foods by pointing your phone's camera at the packaging or barcode. You can use Scan Document to easily go through letters and mail by taking a snapshot of the document and hearing its contents read aloud. We've also introduced a redesigned look based on feedback from the blind and low vision community. The new design should make Lookout easier to use with a screen reader such as TalkBack, our Android screen reader. Finally, with this update, Lookout is now available on all devices with more than 2 gigs of RAM running Android 6.0 or later, and now supports English, French, Italian, German, and Spanish. Expanding this app to more people and devices is part of our commitment to make the world's information universally accessible and to build helpful products with and for people with disabilities. To learn more, read about Lookout on the Google keyword, and you can visit the Google Play Store to download the app and try for yourself. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Researchers are developing a new type of retinal implant. This article comes to us from Cool Blind Tech. Polytechnic Federal de la Seine Labs developed a retinal implant that transposes images acquired by camera-equipped smart glasses into a simplified black-and-white image made from 10,500 pixels. For many patients with retinitis pigmentosa, an inherited disease where progressive loss of retinal photoreceptors eventually leads to blindness, current retinal implants do not provide clear benefits. In fact, 3 years after surgery, most patients have stopped using them. Two limiting parameters are often cited as the reason for the interruption: a small field of vision, usually less than 20 degrees, and coarse visual resolution. These require the patient to constantly scan their environment to create a mental map of their surroundings, which is impractical and cognitively exhausting. To tackle these limitations, Diego Gazzi and his team developed the Polyretina, a wide-field, high-density epiretinal prosthesis that can be implanted at the back of the retina close to the optic nerve. The implant contains 10,498 photovoltaic pixels, distributed in a tiled fashion over a 13-millimeter diameter active area, and provides a 43-degree vision angle. A camera embedded in the smart glasses captures images in the wearer's field of vision and sends the data to a microcomputer placed in one of the glasses' end pieces. The data are then turned into light signals that are transmitted to the 10,498 electrodes of the retinal implants, creating a star-spangled sky-like version of the image. The team conducted a battery of tests to ensure that the implant was fit for purpose, combining conjugated polymers and less rigid substances, for example, allowed for a wider coverage of the retinal surface. However, the main question was how many electrodes the prosthesis should contain. A small number would not significantly improve resolution compared with existing implants. A large number increases risks of crosstalk with neighboring pixels. By firing combinations of pixels of increasing pattern complexity, the researchers confirmed that even when using 10,498 electrodes, the voltage generated by each pixel is sharply discriminated from its neighboring pixels and does not show a voltage summation effect. This was observed even in the most extreme cases, where a central pixel was off while the surrounding 18 pixels were on. The researchers performed further experiments ex vivo on a mouse model of retinitis pigmentosa and showed that each electrode could reliably produce a dot of light in the retina. Quote, "We wanted to make sure that two electrodes don't stimulate the same part of the retina, so we carried out electrophysiological tests that involved recording the activity of retinal ganglion cells, which are a type of neuron at the inner surface of the retina, and the results confirmed that each electrode does indeed activate a different part of the retina," end quote, explains Gezi. Currently, the team is awaiting approval to test their prosthesis in humans. Meanwhile, to continue testing the implant, they have developed a virtual reality program that recreates what the patient would see using the prosthetic. The simulations confirmed the ability of the current setup to generate perceptible images and the implant's readiness for human trials. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Guide dogs may soon have some competition. This article is entitled, "Guide Dogs Could Soon Be Replaced by Robots." A four-legged robotic guide dog system that can safely lead blind people around obstacles and through narrow passages has been developed by U.S. researchers. To save on the time and effort required to train a guide dog, scientists have come up with a novel idea and created a robotic alternative. The robot was designed and programmed by lead researcher and roboticist Zagiu Li and his colleagues at the University of California, Berkeley. They named the robot's design a mini cheetah. It is powered by a laser ranging system to map out its surroundings and a camera to track the human it is guiding. Equipped with a leash, it provides better lead around tight turns, similar to a canine. It weighs 55 pounds when you include the robotic arm. It's all electric and can go for about 90 minutes on a charge depending on what it is being asked to do. It has a variety of sensors, including depth cameras, a solid-state gyro, and proprioception sensors in the limbs. These sensors help with navigation and mobile manipulation. It works on first feeding the destination on its system to let the machine map out a simple route. Then it adapts its course as per the obstacles and the user's movements. Just like a real assistance canine, the mini cheetah guides its user by means of a leash, which it can pull taut but also allow go slack in order to better lead around tight turns. Lee and his colleagues have successfully tested the mechanisms of the bots with three blindfolded people around the obstacle path and narrow section less than a meter wide. The tight turn aimed at testing the machine's ability to divert without keeping the belt tight at all times, as the track was too narrow to fit the turning circle of both the robot dog and the handler together. According to Lee, these types of robots are scalable and have immense scope in the near future. He says that these will definitely be feasible and lucrative alternatives to help and serve people when hardware will become affordable. The team envisioned that in the near future it could also be updated to sync with computer or smartphone calendars so that it could perform various other functions, like automatically taking people to their appointments by means of GPS navigation. The robot has the potential to cut down on the time and expense of training guide dogs, although they would lack the mental and social benefits of a real animal. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. Are you a tennis fan? Then this story will interest you. New technology allows visually impaired fans to experience tennis live. This comes to us courtesy of Cool Blind Tech. A pioneering audio system featured at the Australian Open seeks to translate live ball position data from tennis matches into spatial sound effects to make it easier for blind and low vision fans to follow the action. The system is called Action Audio, and it was developed through a partnership between digital agency AKQA, Tennis Australia, and Monash University in Melbourne. The system translates the action of the tennis match into 3D audio effects. It uses real-time information to recreate three-dimensional sound to give listeners a sense of the speed and trajectory of the ball, its proximity to the line, and shot types of different players. The great thing about this tech approach is it's super scalable, AKQA Executive Creative Director Tim Devine said. This is a confluence of two very established technologies, binaural 3D audio through virtual reality, augmented reality, and electronic line calling tech. The creators of the system claim it's the first of its kind to be implemented for a major sporting event, and they hope to expand it to other tennis tournaments in the future. They also plan to work with the blind and low vision community to determine other sports where it might be useful. Devine said the team was originally inspired by a 2015 TED Talk from neuroscientist David Engelman on the concept of sensory substitution, in which a sense like vision or hearing is essentially recreated through another sense. That led to the idea of turning data from the tennis officiating tech now used to track balls and call close plays into audio effects. This is something that we know BLV, or blind low vision, community people are great at, but in tennis, there is little information for them to do it, Devine said. The ball doesn't make a sound as it moves through the air, and every shot and bounce effectively sounds the same, so it was an easy space to augment. They took the idea to Tennis Australia, which pointed them in the direction of a Monash University research team that was already working on similar tech. Devine said, the project has now been in the works for about 2 years and has undergone around 6 months of testing with members of the blind and low vision community. For the first time, thousands of blind and visually impaired fans will be able to follow the on-court action in real time, enabled by this groundbreaking new use of technology. Tennis Australia Head of Innovation, Makir Reid, said in a statement. Out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to tune in next month. I'm Chris Skidmore, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Tech Tips is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And as always, thank you for listening to Tech Tips.